And we're going to welcome now Deborah Cox. Deborah's involved with the Keep Our Beaches campaign. They have a full-page ad in the Gulf News this week, which is talking about the proposed marina on the
Marine Reserve.
Oh, yes, sorry. I've got marinas on the brain. The proposed Marine Reserve on the eastern side of the island.
Northern side
of the island. Oh, well, we'll get it right. I'm glad you've arrived and you can put me right there. No. Deborah, thank you. Thank you for coming up, because you've come over from Auckland, haven't you?
No, I live on Waiheke.
Oh, you live on Waiheke. Yeah,
yes, I live here in Sandy Bay.
I thought somebody was coming over from Auckland. I'm glad that you haven't made a special trip. But thank you very much for coming and welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us something about this campaign and why you're against the proposed Marine Reserve.
Well, it's such a big picture and it's such a complex picture. The first response when you talk to people about marine reserves is, of course, everyone says, that's wonderful. We'd all love the Gulf to be more full of fish, greater biodiversity in the marine environment, more species, bigger fish and so on, more fishing for the fisher people. But the reality is that a marine reserve is the most stringent demarcation of a marine and coastal life you can get. Waiheke is already part of a marine park, the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park, and within that area there are already protections. But in terms of what you get with a marine reserve, you not only get protection of the sea, but you also get a huge number of restrictions on the coastline. So DOC, who run the marine reserves, also run the beaches and the coastline, and that comes at a cost. They are beyond the normal legislation that applies to land. The local board and the council no longer have say in that. It's not subject to the normal overarching legislation. DOC is not subject to the Resource Management Act in that area, and they can make whatever rules, create whatever activities, and prohibit whatever activities they like. So we just really want to make people aware that if they are going to support a marine reserve, they really know what they're getting themselves in for and what the implications are for the quality of our life here.
Right. I think there's some perhaps misunderstanding of the perceptions you're saying, because I was talking to somebody on the ferry yesterday, and they said they go down to Enclosure Bay and get shellfish and things like that. And I said, well, I understand that they're not going to be able to do that if this marine reserve goes ahead. Is that correct?
What sort of fish did you say?
Shellfish.
Oh, no, of course not. There's a complete no-take area, so there's no fish taken out of the sea, no shellfish off the beaches, no kids can't even go and pick up crabs or shellfish or starfish on the beaches. And more than that, any kind of marine life, such as seaweed, which might be thrown up after a storm, or as we often see on Eroa, scallops up there, you are not allowed to take those things either.
Right. Well, that is restrictive, isn't it?
Mm.
And it will also impact on the boat ramp.
Well, that's what we believe. Marine reserves in other areas, such as Goat Island up at Lee or Cathedral Cove at Hahe, attract huge numbers of people. I think people are going to be shocked when they realise just how many people come as a result of a marine reserve and DOC needing and wanting to educate people and get people to the marine reserves. Both the businesses and DOC are going to be wanting people there. So with the increased numbers at those beaches, we can foresee within the very short future, people will not be able to launch their boats at Sandy Bay. It will simply be too dangerous to have motorboats and with people swimming and snorkeling and perhaps with dive tours and commercial vessels in and out of the bay. Already at Cathedral Cove, they do limit the number of kayak tours that come in there so that they only allow, I think, 24 kayaks per tour and only about, I think it's 8 or 10 tours a day, so that this perhaps with the kayak tours there may be only about 400 people coming in a day, and then of course with the glass bottom boat and other commercial vessels coming in, they are starting to have to restrict the numbers on those as well.
So it would allow, if the Marine Reserve goes ahead, it would allow boat operators to work in that area.
Yes. Said,
glass bottom boats could float over or could go over the area too.
Yes, absolutely. Alex Stone has said that he imagines seeing glass bottom boat leaving from Oniroa and going out around all the bays of the Marine Reserve, similarly from the Onitangi end. So it really encompasses, when you take the implications into account, almost all the usable part of the northern side, the side that we residents and visitors currently use, will potentially, we will have restrictions on how we use it. And not only the restrictions, it's simply the quality of life on those beaches. Part of their beauty and their charm and what we value them for is their isolation, their quietness, their solitude, the ability to go and take your dog down for a walk on the local beach, which would be another thing that would be lost. You know, don't allow dogs in any part of marine reserves any time of the year.
Right.
So that would be a huge loss to a big number of people.
And that would even be on the beach at, as you say, run in Clojure Bay or Sandy Bay.
Yes, but, and Palm Beach, which is still currently a big dog walking area.
So is that Big Palm Beach?
Yes, big and little.
Oh, okay.
The reserve is proposed to go from the western end of Little Oniroa, or just where Fisherman's Rock starts, at the beginning of Hekarua perhaps, out past the marker pole from Sandy Bay, which I can see as I'm sitting here, and straight out to sea, and then along to the western end to Thompson's Point, basically. When you go, I had a local fisherman, resident neighbour of mine, came in the other day and said that he'd been out to the Noisies looking back at Waiheke, and he said, what really amazes me is that the area that's proposed for the Marine Reserve is the only area I could see houses from out there. And this is, again, what seems so wrong to us, to put a Marine Reserve in the heart of a residential area, quite a dense residential area. All other marine reserves really are in much more isolated places where they just don't simply affect negatively everybody's ordinary everyday lives.
Right. We're talking to Deborah Cox about Keep Our Beaches campaign. Is that the right term for your group?
Yes, well, we're focusing on the beaches because I think everybody knows that in a marine reserve, you know, we want to increase the quality of the marine environment, but it's the extra implications that we're really focusing on.
Right. And this this campaign is particularly set up to oppose the proposal to institute a marine reserve area on the eastern side of
northern Waiheke. On the northern side, so it's, as I say, between Oniroa and Onitangi, so it's all along the northern coastline, so it includes the sea, all the rocky coast, the sandy bays,
right,
all along that northern side.
Okay, so Deborah, what plan of action have you got?
Well, at the moment, we're just simply talking to people, getting the information out there, because, funnily enough, I mean, although Alex Stone's been proposing this for a couple of years, he's focused on the groups who are going to support him, the businesses, the fishing charter companies. Why wouldn't they want a marine reserve with extra visitors and extra fish? But the very people who are going to be the most affected, us as local residents and visitors, he hasn't spoken to us yet at all. He's apparently proposing a public meeting and proposing to do a survey of people, but I'm not sure when these things are really going to happen. So we just, before it becomes a fait accompli, we really felt it was important that people understood the issues and the implications. So we're doing an information drive. We've had a lot of leaflets printed. We're going to be getting them out there as widely as possible. We're doing a doorstep drop to everyone in the northern side and as far afield as we can. Anybody who wants to do leaflet drops is more than welcome to contact us at keepourbeaches@gmail.com. Apart from that, we've got a petition already started to circulate. And I have to say, this response has been overwhelmingly positive. Mm. A lot of people have sort of vaguely been aware, but they've been concerned at the moment with the marina. And there has been a certain degree of confusion with the marina issue. But now that the submissions have closed on that, we're hoping people will be able to look forward to talk about the marine reserve. The Alex Stone saying that he wants to submit to DOC before the end of the year. Now, that's... I know it will be a process after that, but DOC's mandate and the community board here as well is to make sure that the proposal has significant community support before they'll go ahead and progress the claim. Mm. So we want to show that whether or not there is.
Are you thinking, considering of organising a public meeting?
Yes, we are. Nikki Kay is quite keen to be involved in a public meeting a little bit further down the track. We'll probably most definitely do that, and we'll advertise that widely, let people know when it's coming up. It's a bit, you know, it is the winter, and a lot of people who are away at the moment, or it's not the visitor season, but we will definitely do all we can to get as much input and as much feedback from people as we possibly can.
There was somebody on the wharf in Auckland on Thursday for the 5 o'clock sailing anyway that I was on, and she was handing out these flyers, and that's what prompted the conversation on the ferry on the way home when a friend of mine said that she read it, and she said, "Oh, I won't be able to get the shellfish that I usually get from down there." And just in talking to people, the perception of what Alex was proposing was that it was offshore. You know, it was an area off, you know, out from that, and wouldn't impact on fishing off the rocks, for instance. So that is something that people were quite, you know, upset about. And maybe it is, you know, you're just getting the information out there so that people can make up their own mind as to whether it's going to have a huge impact on their day-to-day lives.
That's exactly where we're coming from, yes. We agree. It was only, as I say, I mean, most people are positive when you first start talking about marine reserves. And, of course, we already do have a marine reserve. We have the Te Matuku Reserve around near Awaroa, which, as far as I can gather, is a brilliant reserve of that kind of marine environment, the sort of estuarine, mangrovey environment. And perhaps part of its success is the fact that it hasn't been subject to heaps and heaps of visitors arriving on its doorstep. Admittedly, it is less accessible. People can go there by boat. But it is doing its job of increasing the marine biodiversity in that particular marine habitat.
Well, I guess that's one of the questions, is what's the purpose of the marine reserve? Is it to protect the fish and so that, you know, they can replenish the stocks and that sort of thing? Or is it as a tourist attraction? Or maybe a bit of both?
Well, I suspect it is a bit of both. The very fact that Alex has spoken to all the businesses and the business clubs and the tourist operators first and is putting together a cost economic benefit analysis, to me points to a strong commercial lean on it, which is possibly inevitable, because DOC, as we all know, is struggling for the funding to maintain the reserves and conservation areas that it already has. And so it is obliged to go out there itself and promote the commercial opportunities of its product. At places like Cathedral Cove, for example, they allow coffee carts in there because the coffee carts help pick up the litter. Because DOC itself has a pack in, pack out policy. They don't supply rubbish bins. They're not emptying the rubbish bins. So they're relying on the commercial operators to perform one of their costly services. I think there's definitely a strong commercial aspect to it. And when we talk about numbers, I know people have been surprised at the numbers we've quoted. And they are only projections. All we know is that over 500,000 people visit Goat Island, that's 375,000 there, and Cathedral Cove on the Coromandel Peninsula, 2.5 hours away from Auckland, 140,000 went there to that main beach last year.
And that's so it's not an easy place to get to, is it?
No, you have to drive there, primarily from Auckland that the visitors come from. Then park your car in a big, big car park. They're expanding now to accommodate 200 vehicles. Don't know where we're going to have that here. And then you have to walk for 45 minutes. Mm. So that is self-limiting itself, and that number doesn't even count the visitors who come by sea. Mm. So we could be looking, not immediately, but say after 3 years, which is apparently when most of the new fish stock replenish, if a marine reserve is established, we could be expecting up to 100,000 visitors. You know, earlier this year, we had an extra 45,000 visitors for Sculpture on the Gulf. Mm. Now, just think what was required for that. The buses, the infrastructure, the feeding, the drinking, the toilet blocks. Where are these extra 100,000, even 50,000 people? Even 50,000 people would double the amount of visitors we normally have. If Waiheke's resident population is around 8,000 and Tourism Auckland says in the summers that grows to around 50,000. And you think of what problems we had last summer were the dry summer, the water problems, traffic jams in Oniroa. Someone said to me, God, if we have this, the next thing we'll have traffic lights in Oniroa.
Buses perish through.
Perish the thought. So there definitely is a commercial bent. Otherwise, why put a plonk in the middle of an easily accessible area? Apart from the accessibility, there doesn't seem to be any reason to have the marine reserve here rather than somewhere else. There's hundreds of kilometres of coastline in the Hauraki Gulf that provides similar beaches and rocky shorelines that are not at risk of destroying people's lives. So even beyond the proposed area at the far end of Onitangi, for the rest of the northern area, you'd have accessibility, even with the tourist numbers they could get from Matiatia down there in one hit. Anybody could think of other places than that.
Yes, I guess you're right. You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio. This is your community radio station. And we're talking to Deborah Cox about the Keep Our Beaches campaign, which is opposing the proposal to put a marine reserve on the northern side of the island, or on the Palm Beach side of the island. Let's go be safe and say on that side of the island, that probably from about Hekarua through to... Is it Thompson's Point?
Yes. So it's yes.
Now, what is your involvement with this, Deborah? How did you get involved?
Well, I heard about. I can't remember exactly how I heard about the proposal, but we was talking to neighbours on Sandy Beach over the summer, and a typical kind of beautiful summer's evening when the local residents are hanging around having a bit of a chat, and somebody's got a glass of wine, the kids are playing cricket on the beach, and the other people are just down the other end on their little portable barbecue. So we were just, in a typical Waiheke way, just chatting around and thinking, marine reserve, what's this going to mean for us? And it was really just extrapolating from our own experience of enjoying the special place as it is to imagining what it could be like in 5 years' time. And so on the basis of that, I wrote a little piece for Gulf News. And it's really snowballed from then. I've had a huge amount of feedback and people realising what the implications are and adding new things. And I hadn't really even thought about the dog implications. Somebody else said, oh, that means all these businesses are going to have to be licensed. Like anything that's commercial, you can't just go down and take photos, wedding photos on the beaches, all sorts of things. Everybody came up with a different idea. The local fisher people, of course, were the ones who go out kayaking to fish rather than motorboating were impacted as well. And on the strength of that, there are a couple, Andrew Barclay and Miriam Whelan, who are based at Palm Beach, and immediately they could see their own issues with potentially the foreshore there being turned into a marine visitors centre or an ablution block, showers and so on, more structures which people don't want on our beaches. And of course there's the issue of little Palm Beach, which has long been a clothing optional beach, and the privacy for that would be destroyed. And basically, with support of the people that I know in Sandy Bay and Enclosure Bay and Hikarua, we've built up a mailing list, a database, very, very quickly of people who are interested in the issue, all bring different voices and different skills to opposing this.
Well, you have moved very quickly, because the first I read of it was your full-page ad in the Gulf News. And I thought, oh, you know, it sort of got me between the eyes. And then the you know, handing out the flyer as we're getting on the ferry. So if anybody's interested in joining your campaign or helping your campaign, how would they contact you?
Well, they can call us on 022 129 0560. That's a line that will, if it's not immediately answered, your call will be returned to you. It's a dedicated line for Keep Our Beaches. Or you can email us on keepourbeaches, one word, at gmail.com.
Right. Okay, so that cell phone number again was
021-229-0560. Or you can always call me, 9622.
372-9622 for Deborah Cox. Thank you very much, Deborah, for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having us. It is a community issue.
A pleasure.
Bye.